Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of March 4th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us today, we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hooter.
So let's get right into the show because we have a ton of stuff to talk about. A bunch of news, a bunch of stuff we watched. So we'll kick it off like we usually do with news. And trailers, and there was a ton of trailers that came out over the last couple of weeks, like last week and this week. Just kicking off with the most recent one, today being Thursday when we're recording this, the first trailer for Hangover Part 3 came out, the epic finale to the Hangover trilogy.
It all ends.
Yeah, so, we also saw the trailer. Don't really have any idea what the hell is going on in this movie, plot-wise. They're not gonna pass. Like, it's not like the first two where they're gonna black out and then wake up and try to figure out what the hell happened. But they're going to Mexico possibly, or going back to Vegas to rob it / blow it up or something, or
some combination thereof.
Yeah, there's guys in pig masks. There's John Goodman. Mr. Chow is back. Alan bites a giraffe. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I literally just saw it before we came on, and I thought it was funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a sucker for those movies, dude. I know they're not, they're not like Academy Award winners, but fuck, they're funny.
Yeah.
Especially the first time you see them. Good God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, I recommend seeing it with an audience, because half the time you find out the people you want to party with, depending on, like, who's laughing at what.
Yeah.
Like, I was probably the loudest person laughing at some of the most fucked up shit in The Hangover 2. And I just had this sense of, like, camaraderie with, like, the two other people who were, like, into it. So that's fun, I guess. Some team building.
Yeah, and so I think pretty much everyone is back from the first two. Then, yeah, John Goodwin's joining, and then also Melissa McCarthy, who's like contractually obligated to be in every movie, every comedy movie since Bridesmaids.
Yep.
And it's out Memorial Day, so it's going to be probably the big summer comedy blockbuster this year again, just like the last two. Because the last two made, like, just crap loads of money. So, yeah, definitely be keeping an eye on that one. Then, kicking off the summer, actually, we got a new trailer for Iron Man 3, which had a ton...
Rise of the Iron Man.
Which had a ton of new footage in it. Probably the craziest part was the end where they had... they showed off that Tony has, like, an army of just automated Iron Man suits at his disposal now, including the Hulkbuster.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that got me a little wet, I'm not going to lie. I was very pleased to finally see Hulkbuster on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was watching it while I was actually Skyping with Chris. And I just sort of screamed when I saw it. I was like, is that fucking Hulkbuster? So that was cool.
And
it'll be interesting to see if they actually, like, explain it or if it's just kind of there for, like, those in the know,
like for fan reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be funny if, like, the Hulk was actually wearing it, just like Hulk.
Jesus Christ!
Hulk.
Initially, I thought, like, Tony's like, wow, he just gives away his armor to everybody. And I was like, oh, it's all automated. Okay.
What would happen if they put Hulk in an Iron Man suit?
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Just the end of the universe, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus.
So, yeah, so Iron Man 3 definitely look Like, yeah. Looks awesome. Definitely one of my most dismayed movies of the year, probably, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they're really setting it up as a sort of, like, I don't know, like, this sort of, like, inward journey type thing that Stark has to go on. So it looks like it's going to be a dramatically different kind of movie than you might be expecting coming off the heels of the Avengers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to have, like, you know, awesome action sequences, but it really looks like it's going to be a little more, like, story-driven and, like, a little more, like, you know, revealing...
Well, I think
sort of what makes Tony Stark tick.
Yeah. And a lot of it, like, he's trying to, like, sort of, like, deal with, like, the aftermath of, like, Avengers.
Exactly. Exactly.
And almost dying in an alien dimension.
Yeah, minor detail.
And then, I guess...
We also, me and Joe had a deeper discussion about how, like, there's this trend in most superhero movies about superheroes regarding about being superheroes. You notice that?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, this is very important because that's, like, you feel halfway through the movie, it's like, I don't think I should be Iron Man anymore. It's like, fuck you, Tony! Like, after two movies, now you don't want to be Iron Man?
I'll let,
I mean, do you get that vibe where he starts, like, packing his shit up? It's like, I want to protect you, Pepper, so I guess I'm going to forsaken, like, this technology.
Yeah, I'm gonna make robot Iron Man suits.
Yeah, I'm going to have my system run it for me.
Yeah,
and I bet you that's what...
I was just going to say, I'd kind of like to see a superhero movie where that, like, doesn't come up.
Well, I think what's going to happen, because this is going to have, like, a bunch of, like,
I know,
stuff,
he's, like, so. Stranded without his suit, so it's like, does the suit make the man, or does the man make the suit?
Well, and it's also going to, like, it's also...
What makes him Iron Man, the man or the iron?
Yeah.
Ho!
Ho!
Well, it's, I think it's, like, you know, if you guys read the Extremist story, it's, like, he gets his ass destroyed, and then he has to, like...
Yes, he does.
Basically use Extremist to, like... make himself better. So I think that's basically going to happen. Like, he's going to get, like, just completely destroyed in, like, the first half of the movie. And then he's probably going to have to go, like, they show it a little bit in the new trailer where, like, he's, like, going under, like, getting ready for surgery.
Yes.
So he's going to, like, I'm sure he's going to have to, like, I'm sure he's going to undergo, like, the Extremist procedure and then come back as, like, a new super, because they also show, like, the suit, like, forming out of his skin, too, a little bit. Yes. So.
Yeah, that was awesome. But hey, I know we briefly mentioned on it. Actually, we didn't briefly, but we mentioned it on a previous podcast, probably like a year and a half ago. But how much ass did that Extremist motion comic kick?
It kicked a lot of ass.
Like, that was fucking brilliant. So, like, anyone who maybe hasn't, like, who isn't familiar with Extremist, if you have Netflix or if you have access to, you know, DVDs and Paducah, Kentucky, or the shit you may be, definitely check out the motion comic for Iron Man Extremist, because they sort of trim the fat off the comic book arc a little bit and just give you, like, you know, the essentials.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done really, really well. It's, like, awesome animation, really cool story, obviously, but overall great presentation. So if you want to, like, be up to speed on the whole Extremist thing, we highly recommend that.
And such. Yeah. And we still no idea what Guy Pearce is doing in this movie, I think, right?
No. He's just, like, he's
smarmy,
young.
Smarmy possible bad guy.
He is young Wayland, just fucking walking around as, hey, I've got it. Evil. Yeah, just like.
I'm late to my TED talk.
It'd be weird if this was tied in.
Fucking David, yeah.
I wonder if he's going to be, like, the Justin Hammer of this movie.
It also feels like it, too.
Could be. I wouldn't be shocked if there was a little twisty-twisty going on. A little Ra's al Ghul switcheroo. Maybe he is the real Mandarin.
What?
Dun-dun-dun. Just saying. I don't think Guy Pearce would be, like, flunky number one, you know?
You mean to tell me maybe he, you know, goes into a chamber and fakes his death for a while and wears an old man mask and a cane, and maybe. He goes to a Prometheus creature, and it's like, what's the meaning of life?
Man, all I know is if Tony Stark was on that fucking planet, Prometheus would have been a much different movie.
And, like, some sort of crazy space armor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that plays into this movie, too. Because part of what, or it's not really shown that much in the trailer, but like one of the big focuses of this movie is like Tony Stark, the humanitarian, because it's like he's kind of got this new air about him that like he was ready to make the ultimate sacrifice for people.
Yep.
Like for the good of the planet. So it's kind of like, hey, how can I use the Iron Man armor to not just like defend from threats, but like to actively like make life better for people, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know that from the toys that they've shown, they have like an outer space armor sort of Iron Man. That's like this weird combination of like gold and silver and stuff. And it's totally possible that it's just like, you know, Arctic camo Batman, like all those weird, like sort of, that wasn't in the movie toys.
That was make too much, but that doesn't make sense for like a Batman figure. It makes better sense for Iron Man.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying, from what I've seen and heard, that actually does factor into the story.
In the, so in the comics, kind of he's cool actually too. In space right now.
Yeah.
Or not to spoil my thing, maybe there's a bomb he needs to get rid of, and he flies it away, and the detonator is broken, and autopilot's not working.
It could be. And then maybe he'll see Jarvis across across the cafe.
Yeah.
Having a scotch. Because he's a man. Well, no matter what it's about, he drives a badass Audi in this movie, so we can all look forward to that. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll have Happy in it still, even though John Favreau's not directing.
Yeah.
He could still be in it. It kind of makes sense.
I just kind of can't wait for the first Weisenheimer mashup of Iron Patriot footage set to James Brown's Living in America. Hopefully spliced in with shots of the Apollo Creed death sequence from Rocky IV, or just his ring entrance.
Or just like footage of like Ivan Drago rising into the arena.
Yeah.
Looking confused.
The ultimate battle.
Iron Patriot versus Apollo Creed, America's hero.
Yeah. Man, that is, this is really random, but probably one of my greatest, like, collectible finds of all time is when I was in college, I just randomly went into a KB at this mall that I was at just to, like, peruse it and I guess, like, reinvigorate some of my childhood. And for, like, $4, it just in, like, the, like, clearance bin, I found the limited edition Apollo Creed Rocky IV action figure.
Oh, man.
Like, pristine. With the, like, American flag, like, shorts and everything, and the picture on the box is him, like, is Carl Weathers with the top hat and everything in the middle of dancing. I was like, okay, I'm buying all of these that you have. So,
Do they have any of the meat figure?
No, unfortunately not.
I can't, that line of, the Rocky figure line, a figure that was just meat.
Meat. Yeah, they really started scraping the bottom of the barrel with characters.
Yeah.
Adrian's pet bird from the first Rocky. Pauly. Like, wait, what? Who wants a Pauly action figure?
Rocky's son. The robot from Rocky IV.
Happy birthday, Pauly. The band members from Survivor. Like, what?
The Survivor collector set.
Hmm. I'd buy it.
Yeah, sorry, Iron Man 3, kicking off the summer in May. I think May 4th or May 3rd or somewhere around there.
I think May 3rd, yeah.
But, yeah, usual Marvel kicking off the summer with a huge blockbuster.
Oh, yes.
And then other trailers came out last week and this week. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Did you guys see this trailer?
Yes.
So, first one was surprisingly good.
Really surprising.
Yeah, definitely.
And then those guys went on to make 21 Jump Street, which is also shockingly good.
Yeah, keep it coming, man.
And they're making the
weird how that's the same people.
Yeah, they're making the Lego movie right now.
But, excellent.
So, and then I guess they handpicked the team that's doing Clay with the Chainsaw Meals 2. So it sort of picks up after the first movie, and everyone's trying to go back to their home island there. And they come back, it's sort of like, it's like a Jurassic Park
Lost World
sort of thing, where the food creator device went haywire and, like, basically just turned the entire island into, like, this weird food ecosystem with, like, food-animal hybrids and stuff. So, like, there's, like, a team going in to explore it. With, like, Flint from the first movie and a bunch of other, like, I can't remember. Like, the police officer, voiced by Mr. T in the first movie. It's, he's voiced by Terry Crews in this movie.
I like Mr. T better.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, looks super fun, just like the first movie.
Yeah.
Lots of super, like, really fun, interesting, like, food animals running around.
There's a lot of cool background imagery, like, yeah. the creatures, like, the settings are very, like, imaginary, like, very imaginative, and I like that. Like, granted, the book did it a lot better, like, all the, like, the weird food items, mm-hmm. and it wasn't cartoony, it was just like, here's, like, a poorly drawn spaghetti ball hitting an old man, like, fuck yeah! I had no chance of meatball. Abuse the elderly. It destroyed this neighborhood! Yay! But this is, like, a weird... I feel like this would be a great drunk movie to watch. Like, it's so colorful. It's so, like... I guess, like, poppy. Even, like, the dialogue in the first movie was very, like, well-placed times and, like, well-placed jokes, you know?
Yeah.
So... It's surprising a CG movie is, like, that kind of level now. Instead of, like, if this movie was made 10 years ago, it would look terrible. You know?
Yeah.
But I probably won't see it in theater. I'm just going to be honest. I actually might see it, like, at home. Yeah. Or if I'm dragged to it, I'll see it. But, like, it's definitely not my, like, I need to go watch this in theater. Because you'll be surrounded by kids. You'll be surrounded by kids and, like, miserable parents. We're like, we'll get the joke, but then, like, won't explain to, like, the kids, because it's like, oh, it's an adult joke.
Yeah. Joe, any thoughts?
I really enjoyed the first one, so I'm definitely going to see it.
Sometime.
Yeah, I mean, it might not be in theaters, but, mm-hmm. like, I'll see it. It was a cute movie.
Yeah, especially for, like, I think it's Sony that does those, right? Not DreamWorks or Pixar or Disney. It's, like, Sony.
I believe you're right, yeah.
All right, so moving on to the last couple trailers. Did you guys see the trailer for Erased?
Yes.
With Aaron Eckhart's Taken?
Yeah, you know, that's it seems to be in my wheelhouse, so... You know.
Yeah, so Aaron Eckhart is a CIA agent who gets erased, quote unquote. And basically, like, they wipe out all of his, like, identity and, like, any employment history and stuff. And then basically, he's, like, on the run with his daughter. And Olga Kurienko is chasing after him. And then Taken-esque action occurs. Like, it's basically, like, sort. I guess it's more of Taken 2 because he has his daughter with him, but instead of, like, trying to, like, rescue his daughter. But I'm sure, I'm pretty sure she'll be, like, taken at some point, like, a kidnapped at some point by the evil CIA people.
Yeah, you know, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
But it's weird. But I'm just saying, like, what weird, like, I guess, like, contingency plan was it, where it's like, well, we'll burn every asset, we'll try to kill our top agent, and, like, his daughter, too. Like, none of this plan ever sounds bad.
It's kind of like, it's like if you combine Unknown and Taken, the two Liam Neeson movies combined to make this one. Except he knows who he is, but it's like, because Unknown was like, we don't know who you are, you're not the person you say you are.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like it could be a solid action movie. I think we're all fans of Aaron Eckhart here, right?
I mean, I liked him as Two-Face, and I liked him as Thank You for Smoking. Mm-hmm. So,
he's probably the only thing holding Battle Los Angeles together.
I didn't see that movie all the way, so I can't even say that. I just know, I think Aaron Eckhart, I don't think action hero.
No. I mean, he's got a couple, but he's also going to be the president in Olympus Has Fallen in a couple weeks.
Right,
he's not going to be reactioning that because he's kidnapped and held hostage, but...
And then Tatum has to save him?
No, Gerard Butler has to save him.
Oh, okay, wrong one.
Yeah, Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx is the other one. So, so last trailer that came out last week was the trailer for Jay and Silent Bob's groovy cartoon movie.
Snooch to the motherfucking nooch.
Which is going to follow a similar release to Red State, which is just Kevin Smith is just going to tour around the country with it. And it's not going to be any wide release of it. It's going to be like, here, we're in the city this week. And then it'll be on, like, eventually DVD, probably.
Probably should pop up on Netflix, too.
Yeah. Like, Red State pop up on Netflix eventually, so.
Yeah.
Also, weird thing is that Kevin Smith's not directing it. It's some other, it's like a fan they found or something, or some guy.
Some animator extraordinaire, as Kevin Smith has called him. Mm-hmm.
But Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith would be doing the voices for their characters. And it's some weird, like, Jay and Bob win the lottery, and then basically just become their superhero alter egos, Bloodman and Chronic.
Which I'm not even sure, like, is how that's the origin of the comic version of it is.
That they win the lottery?
Yeah, and then they just become superheroes.
Mm-hmm. And then they basically, like, instantly, like, get, like, a rogues gallery going against them.
The return of Cockknocker.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't hear. Was that really Mark Hamill?
No, right? I doubt it. I mean, if it was, they didn't really make a big stink about it, which you would think they would.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, have you ever seen the animation feature on Netflix of this, where they actually put a little more time into making the animation look not like someone had a seizure halfway through drawing it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a decent attempt to visualize it, but I'm not, again, like, it's weird. I want to support it, but I kind of don't want to see it like that.
Yeah, the animation style is very, like, super early Flash cartoon.
Yes, it's like they're missing a bunch of frames.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, it makes you wish, like, they would just use, like, the Clerks animated style to do it.
Yes! Oh, that would have been
weird. If you compare the two, you're like, oh, this must have came first. But, like, no, the Clerks thing came before. And
like 10
really?
Years before.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm like, why couldn't they go back to that? Why couldn't they just, like, find something similar or, like, you know, the next age to do that? Like, it's weird.
Then they could have got, like, Alec Baldwin to come back as Leonardo. It's like, could be like, the arch villain of it or something. And get James Woods to come back.
What does this administration plan to do about the Grimace? Nothing can stop the Grimace.
I think
we're all going to see it, so.
Yeah.
That's not really a question.
The Clerks anime show was so far ahead of its time. Like, if it had been like an early Adult Swim show, like, it would still be on, probably.
God, you said it, yeah.
It's like the worst worst network at the worst time.
Was it UPN?
It was ABC.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was like ABC Friday nights. So it was like TGIF or something, but like post TGIF. And then they made it. And they're like, you need to water down every possible thing about the show.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so it was still awesome.
Yep.
Because like they had to make like Jay and Silent Bob like firecracker dealers. Like they were selling like illegal fireworks. Yeah, anyway, so I think there's a list of like cities where the movie's gonna be playing. So if there's one near you, go check it out. It's gonna be like, I'm sure there'll be like a big like Kevin Smith Q&A afterwards, along with like the movie. So moving on to other news, more people getting added to Anchorman 2. It seems like every week there's like someone new getting added. Big news this week though. Harrison Ford is going to be in Anchorman 2. As like a, there's like, he's sort of like a Tom Brokaw or like, super veteran, super serious, like, network anchor.
Oh, he's going to be broken by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exciting that they actually somehow convinced Harrison Ford to be in this, because it's like, if you look at the first movie,
I wonder if he'll be like, if he's gonna be like dead serious, or if he's actually like making fun of himself a little bit.
I hope.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then, I don't know if we talked about it, but like, James Marsden is supposed to be like the, sort of like the main antagonist.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about it, but, it's an interesting development.
And then, I mean, pretty much every, like, name someone, like, name some comic actor, and they're probably in this movie at some point.
Yeah,
come on, Louis C.K. That just shows up.
Probably, yeah.
I would, I'm very much looking forward to the cameos, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's, basically, they said, like, they got people in for just one day, like, every single possible person you can think of for, like, at least one day just to come in and do a cameo.
I really hope there's another, like, back alley brawl.
Yes.
Again.
Oh, you know there has to be.
Yeah.
There has to be
just,
another.
That's a staple of the movie, so.
I'm hoping for the triumphant return of Wes Mantooth.
Yes.
Possibly the best, like, alias name to use of all time.
They know Jesse Reilly's going to be back as, like, the, Was he working for like the PBS affiliate?
Yeah.
Hopefully Ben Stiller will be back as like the
Univision
Channel Ocho.
Como están, bitches.
For no touching of the hair. That's it.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying.
Leave the mothers out of this.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint. A saint!
Oh, man. Yeah, Anchorman 2, cannot wait for that one. It's coming up. I think it's like, winter this year, so it's super
like
long
right
way off.
Before
yeah.
Christmas. Yeah.
The best Christmas present ever.
Oh, seriously, yeah.
Wait, is Christina Applegate still in this movie?
Hell yeah, Veronica Corningstone is back.
Okay. Make sure, because if they're interested in Christina Wig, is like she gonna be the new love interest? Like, how's
no,
that
she's playing. She's playing Brick's wife.
That's like the big rumor is that there's all like sort of like the what they everyone thinks is that she's gonna be Brick's wife, which is gonna be insane. It'd be hilarious.
I hope that's the case, man.
It'd be hilarious if like she was just like super, like a super genius, just like completely like intellectual.
Yes.
And then doesn't like, and then she doesn't acknowledge anything like that. Brick is stupid.
What'd be really funny is if they were both like completely retarded, but they had like Mensa level genius children.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
By this point, that would be funny. Mm-hmm.
So, other casting news. So we talked last week that Jason Clarke was gonna be starring in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And then some more casting news came out, some bigger casting news. Kerry Russell and Gary Oldman are going to be in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes as well.
Oh, come on, Gary Oldman as a monkey.
Actually, at first I was like, wasn't Gary Oldman already in Planet of the Apes? And I was like, oh no, that was Tim Roth. They're kind of the same person, but... But no, I think they said Gary Oldman's going to be like the leader of like this like... human survivor camp that's like in San Francisco that's like sort of like a lot of scientists are like trying to like figure out a way to like either stop the monkey plague or like figure out a way to stop
plague.
The monkeys. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's gonna be one of those weird like survivor movies then, like kind of like I imagine, like, Book of Eli all over again, but with monkeys.
Yeah, it's, like, it's post-apocalyptic with, like, Caesar is, like, building his, like, civilization up. And there's, like, this, like, small group of humans, like, trying to, like, survive in, like, the ruins.
Oh, man, come on. Mark Wahlberg comes in with a, from
space,
a capsule.
Yeah. Tied all in. The end of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes should be like them building the Lincoln Memorial with the monkey face on it.
Just lands. Fuck.
Yep, so that's...
I'd see it.
I think we were already interested because Rise of the Planet of the Apes is pretty awesome. But yes, Gary Oldman definitely raises the interest a little bit.
Yes.
I think we'll pretty much watch anything Gary Oldman's in at this point.
Yeah, he's a bad mo effer.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully he has some sort of like crazy accent or like crazy tick or something that he has.
Yeah, here's to hoping.
So, less confirmed casting news, just like a kind of a big rumor at this point, but there's talks that Christian Bale might return as Batman for Justice League. And Joe, you reported on this for us. What did you hear?
I did. Well, pretty much, give credit where credit's due. El Mayimbe over at Latino Review broke this news. Here's the thing. I'll go on record as saying this. I think it's confirmed. I think it's safe to say that Christopher Nolan's going to produce the Justice League movie and that Christian Bale is going to be back at Batman, is going to be back as Batman. And do you want to know why? Well, the only way that Warner Brothers is going to compete with Disney at this point, who has Avengers 2 on the way and has the next Star Wars movie, you know, Episode 7 coming out in the same year, the only way they're going to like stand a shot against them is to pull out all the stops as far as the Justice League movie is concerned. And I think that in terms of box office like numbers, the way you do that is you get Christopher Nolan involved, and if he won't direct it, he'll just produce it, which is basically like directing for Christopher Nolan anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think he's going to let any, like...
his visual stamp on it.
Exactly. He's not going to let any, like, shenanigans or fuckery take place. And then I think, you know, hand in hand with that is Christian Bale coming back as Batman, just because I don't know anybody who was like, bro, Christian Bale was a terrible Batman. Like, it's all about George Clooney. Like, that's an argument you'll never hear. You just won't. Yeah, say what you will about the voice or whatever. Like, I understand that it's a meme and it's funny, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, I don't think anybody laughed the first time they heard it. Like, it got funnier the more you heard it. But the first time, you know, that fucking interrogation with Flass is happening, you're kind of like, whoa, he means business. Mm-hmm. Having said all this, the other big reason behind why I'm willing to say that it's confirmed is that if you look at Latino Review's track record, especially with DC, they were the first ones to break that Brandon Routh was going to be Superman back for Superman Returns. And a lot of people were poo-pooing them, saying, oh, that's bullshit, that's not confirmed, blah, blah, blah. You know who played Superman in Superman Returns? Brandon Routh. We also had them confirming that Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, which, again, people were poo-pooing and saying was ridiculous because, if you recall, Heath Ledger was up to play Batman in Batman Begins and basically turned it down because he didn't want to be in a superhero movie. So there are a lot of haters. Like, there are a lot of people who just want to say, oh, it's rumor. But they broke the story, and then Jet over at BatmanOnFilm.com is pretty much all but confirming this story as well, or at least, you know, corroborating what Latino Review is saying. And he's pretty well connected at this point, because his site is like the Batman movie site on the internet, period. But moreover, I think that what's most important here is to play follow the money. And again, WB isn't stupid. DC isn't stupid. They know that people are kind of like hot and cold about the Justice League. So what they really want to do is not necessarily win over the fanboys, but they want to get the general audiences. They want to get them into the theater. And I think that to do that, you get Christian Bale to be Batman. And I think that you get Christopher Nolan to put his whole like stamp on it. Now, the really interesting thing here, guys, is how are they going to set up this movie? Like, if it's going to come out in 2015 now, you know, how are they going to build it up? Well, the big rumor is there may just be a stinger after the credits for the Man of Steel that may or may not involve Christian Bale as Batman. But what really has my attention and what I'm really thinking about now is, are they going to try to find a way to make this movie take place within the Batman sort of Christopher Nolan universe and say, yeah, this happens before The Dark Knight Rises? Or are they going to say, okay, well, I guess Joseph Gordon-Levitt didn't really pan out.
We need the real Batman back.
Yeah,
Blake died horribly on his first mission out.
Blake drowned in the cave before he ever saw anything.
Yeah. No, he couldn't get out. It was a one-way rope-in cave.
Yeah. How did he... Oh, God. Oh, God. So much pressure. Yeah, so that's going to be really interesting now to see exactly, you know, what angle they take with that. Because, you know, they could always just say, hey, this is a different Batman, but it's played by Christian Bale because we know how much you guys like Christian Bale as Batman. And you know what? On a certain level, I'd be okay with that too. But I just don't see how, like, general audiences are going to be able to make a distinction between...
This Batman is going to wear a gray batsuit. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, though, that's, you know, no offense to, you know, Warner Brothers or the people who make decisions over there, but that's kind of how they think. Like, that's a very... Chris, what you said, like, that's a very real scenario that's probably playing out in a boardroom somewhere. Like, huh, well, we'll just make him gray. Like, yeah, wait, what?
That's pretty much what I think they would do, is like, okay, well, we'll just turn him gray. Like, his suit... No, black Batman armor Batman is Christopher Nolan's Batman. This, like, gray one, this... Like, think about it, it's a different toy line, a different, they can hire, like, another Morgan Freeman to come in and be like, I made this for you.
Well, I'm willing to go on the record here and say that the suit that Batman's going to wear in the Justice League, like, there's no way that it's not going to be the new 52 suit. So, you're like, say goodbye to the black, like, body armor sort of Batman from, you know, the last three movies, and really they're going to probably try to bring it in to make it as faithful to the new 52 suit as possible. In my opinion, I think that the best bet for that would probably be to look at the Arkham City downloadable skin for the Batman Incorporated Batsuit. Because it's pretty much on par with the new 52 outfit, except it's got, like, a little more armor in some areas. Like, it looks like the like, ankles and the groin area are a little reinforced, which is probably a little more realistic and whatnot. And it's cool because it's still giving that, like, he's got battle armor sort of thing without covering him in, like, steel. Mm-hmm. Steel plating, so... Yeah, very exciting times, but it's going to be a lot for them to juggle, so we'll just see how they could do it.
Alrighty, so moving on to actually confirmed superhero news. Halle Berry is going to be back as Storm for Days of Future Past, joining the rest of the returning people, as well as the returning first class people.
In the X-Men 10th anniversary reunion.
Yes.
If you were an X-Men, you're in this movie.
Pretty much like she and Hugh Jackman aged pretty well to still be in these movies mm-hmm. after like 10 years, so.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this. It's not like I can think of another like person to be Storm anymore. It's not like that's... Not to sound racist, but it's like, I don't know.
I heard a lot of people saying that she should have, like, the mohawk.
She should. Mm-hmm. It's sexy as fuck, so, you know, I don't mind that. They're not bringing James Mansfield ever back. Or
James Marsden.
James Marsden.
Because he got exploded.
We don't know. We don't know.
He joined the Phoenix Force. Yeah, they haven't said if Jean Grey might return anymore, so
well, if they're fucking around with the timelines,
I mean, yeah,
she certainly could. I think doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I mean there's certainly some wiggle room.
Yeah, I think they said they're going to try, like, this one's going to sort of like be more of a connector between the Bryan Singer movies and like the original trilogy and then First Class. So make it more like a more cohesive universe.
Yeah.
So they, if they're doing that, they need like almost everyone.
I think they pretty much have everyone at this point. Like they have Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, Ian McKellen. They have, I'm trying to think. They have Anna Paquin and Ellen Page and
Oh no, it's not an X movie without Ellen Page.
Kitty Pryde. Where's Colossus?
She's the glue that, where's Colossus? Where's Jubilee again? Where's
They never had Jubilee in the movies.
Well, you know, bring her back. Bring her in.
Yeah, bring her in for the first time.
No, there was an Asian chicken bring, one.
What about Dazzler? Because it's in the '70s. Like they're gonna be like the first class cruise in the '70s.
I hope we get to see Archangel again. That was great.
Oh my god!
Stupid character, but I don't mind him.
Christ.
He had one scene where he just like mattered, like the least bit.
He saved his own
father.
Where
did he go, Dad? He lives in the hearts and minds of children everywhere. If you close your eyes and wish, maybe one day he'll come back.
So
X-Men.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Bryan Singer's back directing, so even though I heard Giant Slayer is a huge disaster, but
oh, who told you that? Everyone who saw it.
Yeah, and then it made like
all four people.
And it made like $10 million, like some horrible amount of money this weekend. It cost like $200 million to make. So
yeah, what I want to know is where was the demand for like a fucking epic Jack and the Beanstalk?
Right there with the same.
They looked at Twilight and they're like, we can do that.
Well, it's like this weird like we need to make edgy fairy tale reinventions. Snow and the Huntsman, Red Riding Hood, like Red Riding Hood, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. So anyway, last bit of news this week. Something we've been super interested in supporting and helping, the Death of Superman Lives documentary.
What happened? Up.
Yeah. Happy to report it got funded on Kickstarter, so it's definitely happening.
Yay.
And I think if you're listening to this on Friday, there should be like maybe like 2 days left on it. Because like, I think it's today, we're recording on Thursday, so there's like 4 days left right now. Yeah. So you can still donate, definitely, because if they get over 100,000, or like somewhere in the 100,000 range, then they can recreate the scenes from the movie with like the crazy Bear McCreary score, like the skull shifter sculpting and all this other stuff.
Yeah, if they hit the stretch goal, you could expect some really awesome shit to be in this doc. So
there's definitely enough to make the movie, and then I think Kevin Smith's definitely going to be interviewed in it. The other, who else? I forget, the producer is going to be in it, or
yeah, actually, Ron Peterson.
Yeah.
And then Tim Burton, hopefully, and I'm really hoping for Nicolas Cage as well.
Yes.
I think he would do it. I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there are people like Chris Rock, like who was going to play Jimmy Olsen. Like, I don't know if he's going to be in it or whatever. I don't know if he really needs to be, but definitely Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton. Other than that, I don't really know who I would need to see.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll definitely see it at some point in the near future here. So
yeah, it's awesome. It's definitely happening, and not to sound like, you know, fucking, like, in the know douche, but, like, I've actually been talking back and forth with John, and he's, like, super fucking excited that it's happening. So I think that we could definitely expect something, like, really special here because the guy is super passionate about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not some like, hey, I guess I'll make a, I guess I'll make a name for myself with a documentary about some bullshit movie that four people care about. Like, it's couldn't be further from that. So I think we're all going to be in for a treat. And look for our name in the credits, son, because we sponsored that shit, and you should too. Yeah.
And so next project is go support that Batman documentary. What's the name of that one, Joe?
Legends of the Night.
Yeah.
And there, a little bird told me that there may be an interview with Brett Culp, who is the mastermind behind this whole project, on our website sooner rather than later.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for news. News this week, unless there's anything else you guys can think of that we need to talk about, news-wise.
Did we mention that Christian Bale might be Batman?
We did.
Okay, yeah, I think we're good.
Okay. So, moving on to news roundup for the week, and our pick of the week is Wreck-It Ralph.
Hell yeah.
Which, neither of you guys saw that, right?
I have it sitting in my living room
now. Okay, watch it, yes. Watch it as soon as possible.
Sweet.
Because it is, it's awesome. It definitely should have won Best Animated Movie of the Year.
It should have won Best Picture.
Maybe not Best Picture, but definitely it's definitely the best animated movie I saw last year. It's not Brave.
AKA Ginger Nightmare.
And it's definitely, like, even if you saw it in
theaters, Rise of the Gingers.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, should be an awesome, like, freeze frame movie, because you can just freeze frame it and, like, to see how many freaking video game characters in the background.
Nice.
I guess one of the things I saw, because they put up a bunch of like you can freeze, like you can do like this like pop up with like Chris Hardwick, and then he just points out a bunch of stuff. And there's one on YouTube where like apparently there's like just a ton of graffiti all over the place, with like a bunch of just like super obscure like video game in jokes.
Oh.
Like, one is, like, Aerith lives and stuff, and there's, like, the Contra code is on there, and, like a Street Fighter, like, end, like, something like Street Fighter, like, winning phrases around the wall somewhere and stuff, and a bunch of crazy stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so tons and tons and tons of video game jokes.
Sweet.
Also have Duck Dynasty Season 2 out this week on DVD. Apparently,
that's a thing.
The most, like, the most watched
people watch that.
Yeah, the most not like the most watched reality
show,
like,
about ducks,
like non-scripted show on television.
Don't ask us why.
Like, it's got like it gets like 8.4 million viewers or something.
Well, with the systematic pussification of this country, pretty soon it's going to be the only reality show with guns in it. So that might explain something.
Yeah. And beards.
Yeah. They go hand in hand. Beards and guns.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week we have Schindler's List, the 20th anniversary limited edition on Blu-ray. Which I think is the first time it's going to be on Blu-ray.
Yep. It's the feel-good family rental of the week.
Yes. Gather the whole family and watch Schindler's List.
Yep.
And be confused that Liam Neeson's not punching people.
Yeah.
It's like the weird, like... Ugh. It's like, why isn't Liam Neeson, like, killing these Nazis? He should be, like, yelling... He's just, like, yelling at them and, like, punching them with, like, broken beer bottles on his hands.
Oi.
And yelling for Kimmy to throw grenades at them.
Kimmy!
So we also have Red Dawn, the remake, out on Blu-ray and DVD this week.
I'm actually very excited to see that.
It was alright. You can read my review on the site. It suffers super horrible, like, PG-13. Well, we have to make this PG-13, so we're going to zoom the camera in super close and shake it around so you can't see any violence.
Aww. What?
Yeah, I can't decide if that or Hunger Games did that worse, but they're both, like, you can definitely tell they're trying very, very hard to be PG-13 and not show any violence.
Damn.
Well, that's upsetting.
That's not the Red Dawn I like.
Not in my America.
Not in my Red Dawn America.
Patrick Swayze is the only Jeb.
Wolverine.
Yeah, I think I gave like a 3 out of 5 or 3.5 out of 5 or something, so. It was alright. It wasn't great. Playing for Keeps out this week, the one of the two horrible bombing of Gerard Butler last year. I think it was like one came out 1 month, one came out the second month, and then they both just bombed horribly.
And then he realized he shouldn't do romantic comedies.
Yeah, he said,
rom-coms.
I need to go rescue the president from the White House. And shoot people.
Fallen. I have to stop Olympus from falling.
I wish it was Nicolas Cage as the Secret Service.
Oh my god, me too.
I think it's like every episode we're just gonna like mention like Nicolas Cage to be in this movie.
Yeah. Pretty much every movie that comes out, hey, you know what would make this better? What, Nicolas Cage?
Mm-hmm. So, also on Blu-ray this week, Westworld. Have you guys seen Westworld?
Is that a movie?
Yeah, I kind of remember. It's an awesome movie.
I have not seen it.
Directed by Michael Crichton. It's basically like the genesis for like Jurassic Park and Terminator. Because it's about this theme park where there are robots running around, and then you get, like, there's like a... There's Westworld, then there's Roman world, and there's also like medieval world. And basically, you pay to go there, and then you get to just experience. Like it's fully like you get to shoot the rope. Like in the Westworld, where the two main guys go, you get to like have gunfights with the gunslingers. You deal to the saloon. You get to pick up like robot hookers, and then
whores.
Yeah. But then one of the robots goes haywire, and it's Yul Brynner is the robot that goes haywire, and he just, like starts like going on a rampage and like gunning people down with like real bullets. So they're like it's just like they're trying to like the techs at the theme park are trying to like figure out how to stop him before he like kills everyone, and like basically actually all the robots in the theme park go insane. So it's just like robots are killing all the tourists in the theme park.
Sweet. Well, they start becoming like self-aware.
Yeah, they get like something goes wrong with their program, and they're like because their programs are like not hurt the tourists, but then something goes wrong with their program, and they're like that goes away.
Like, fuck everybody!
It's the...
I'm going to kill everyone!
If you saw the Simpsons episode, Itchy and Scratchy Land, that's based on. It's Westworld.
That's great.
And Yul Brynner is like the proto-Terminator. He's just, like, super creepy and super robotic.
Nice.
So definitely check that out if you haven't seen that, because that movie's a classic.
And there's a sequel, too.
Yeah, was it Future World?
Yeah, I think it's Future World, yeah. Where, like, the robots basically escape. No, like, the government or someone is using them to replace people.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not as good as the first one.
It's like, imagine Jurassic Park, except not the sequel. It's like, imagine the dinosaurs dressing up as humans and, like, going to work.
Yeah. So also on Blu-ray this week, we have Nightmare on Elm Street Collection, which is the first 5 Nightmare movies on Blu-ray.
Yes. I think it's the whole collection, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think it actually is. Like,
yeah, I think it's the whole series.
It's like new nightmares on there as well and stuff.
Yeah, it definitely got to pick that up. Hell yeah!
Yeah.
See, it wouldn't be worth it if it was like the first two. We're like, oh.
Yep, it's the first 7.
Well, how many?
Seven,
how many like 4 packs of that fucking series have there been? You know what I mean?
Countless.
Like
yeah.
Every, you know, it's crazy.
Well, it's like, do you want the first 4 or the last 4?
Yeah.
It's like, I guess the first 4, because it has two, like, maybe 2 or 3 of them are not, like, the second one's horrible, but.
Dream Warrior, man.
Yeah, Dream Warrior. Like, if the collection has Dream Warrior on it, then I'll probably get it.
How many copies of Dream Warrior do you own now?
None, but.
Never enough. Never enough.
I have the Dawkins song on like repeat on my iPod.
Nice.
And it's like one of the greatest music videos of all time.
Yes, it is.
Where they kill Freddy with the power of rock.
With the power of George Lynch.
Yep.
On guitar.
Actually, Dokken is Frey's nightmare, because he wakes up at the end, and he's like, no! Get out of my head, Dokken!
Yeah. It's poetic.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week, The Marine 3 Homefront, starring The Miz.
The Miz, yeah!
Oh my god. I think originally it's supposed to star Randy Orton.
Someone good, oh.
Then The Miz stepped in.
Good. To everyone's chagrin. Yeah.
Did you guys see 2?
No.
With a Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, no.
It was pretty awful.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
I think we definitely still need to watch The Marine 1 at some point. For a couple.
I need to see it. I have never seen it.
What the fuck? You haven't?
Because it's like so fucking ridiculous that it's awesome. Robert Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's a Terminator or something. Dun, dun, dun. And just, like, everyone just, like, walking through, like, the biggest explosions possible. People are just, like, walking through it without getting even slightly burned.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Also this week we have The Bay, which is a found footage horror movie from Barry Sonnenfeld, who did, like, Men in Black and other movies. And it's sort of, like, it's kind of like Jaws mixed with, like, Contagion a little bit, because, like, this 4th of July, like, this seaside town, it's, like, there's some sort of, like, infected, or, like, some sort of creatures come out of the water and start infecting people.
Some sort of cancer shark.
Throat cancer sharks. So, like, they somehow, like, get in people's mouths and, like, bury it there. And I've heard pretty good things about it, so.
Cool.
And then we have, Ultramarines, which is a Warhammer 40K animated movie.
Awesome.
Starring, like, John Hurt and a bunch of other people.
What?
Yeah, actual people starring in that movie.
But John Hurt?
Surely yeah. You jest.
And that is pretty much it for new releases. So, while we get into what we've been watching for the last week or two, and Chris, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, so I got lucky and started watching the Viking show,
yep.
The Viking on History Channel, and
got an early access look at
it. Early access to the first season.
Well, like first 5 episodes.
Well, yeah, it's like that's just their pilot run. They just did the whole first 5.
Yeah, it's probably gonna
be like, to watch.
Probably like 10 or so, I would say, I think.
Right, I mean, it's a good way to gauge it so they don't need to, like, kill it and then just be, like, stuck with, like, all these episodes in case it doesn't, like, blow up.
It blew up, pretty much. Like, that...
Which is
like,
good.
Like, because it... Well, The Bible was, like, the most watched show ever, apparently. Like, the Bible had, like, 14 million viewers or something, some crazy number.
Hmm.
And then I think Vikings had, like, 6 million or something. Or some really good amount as well. So it's like the two most watched shows of the year so far. So I'm sure both of them are going to stick around for a while.
Right, and you know actually the Viking show, it doesn't have to be like a giant like situational show where it gets really formatic, because as long as like the story is told with a concise like premise. It doesn't need to be like it doesn't have to turn to The Office where like it just needs to like stretch out the plot for forever, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Viking story is about one Viking named Ragnar, who Ragnar Lothbrok or something like that.
Lothbar, I think.
Lothbar.
Yeah.
No. And it's about his actual like historic rise in the Viking community to explore like further beyond their traditional territories.
Like he was like sort of like the first like Viking king, right? But there's like no one really knows that much about him.
I guess he was like the first like
so like he's like this like mythological like Viking king. That like
well he becomes like, that like before that this is
an actual person, but there's like not really that many details about his actual life. It's just like. This guy existed, and then he was like super, like a super powerful leader of the Vikings. But
It's kind of like the King Arthur tale.
Yeah,
where,
yeah.
He's like the Viking Arthur, was yeah. possibly yes. a King Arthur way back in the day, but like mm-hmm. his legend gets so like messed up that you don't know what's fact or real or not.
Yep.
But at least in this premise, it kind of makes sense of a Viking, how like they are portrayed as brutes to other people, but to their culture, they're portrayed as like explorers and like heroes. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see from like their point of view how like they run their society.
Yeah, I like. I've only seen the first episode so far, but I like they did like the whole like they come like every year they get together and like do all the crimes and stuff. So it's like
their yearly like debt thing.
Yeah. So like the one guy's like I think he got caught stealing like he was stealing something, so like he had like run across like they have people throw stuff at him. Yeah.
The gauntlet.
Then the one guy was like a murderer, so like how do you wanna get killed?
Well, I mean like then it gets really like Game of Thrones-y with the whole political, like, everyone's got, like, the chieftain has his own political agenda,
yep,
and then,
trying to,
like
gather land or something, and...
Yeah, like, everyone, and then if you go further with that plot, which they develop in later episodes, it turns out, like, it goes way crazier. I'm not gonna spoil it, but it's just, like...
Yeah, don't spoil it.
It gets almost Game of Thrones-y with the whole, like, everyone's got a fucking agenda.
Which is pretty awesome.
Which is awesome, because that's cool, because it's like, oh, like, every scene is, like, its own little, like, you know, you have to follow it. Like, there's a lot of, like, oh, he did this for this reason, he did that for that reason. So, I like it as, like, daytime, not a daytime, but, like, non-premium channel show I can just watch.
Yeah, like, I think you tried to best group, you said it's like a PG-13 like Game of Thrones or Spartacus.
It is. I mean, it's actually like, you know, M rating, blah, 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 but it's never going to
be
like...
They have like, they're like, this program contains violent scenes and sexual content, so this can't be seen by younger viewers or whatever.
Yeah, like, later on in a few episodes, there's awkward rape that goes on, but it's gritty enough that I'm like, fuck, like, the hell am I watching? Then it's like, oh, this is, like, on History Channel. Then I'm like, History Channel isn't, like, you know, an HBO channel.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's like, for, like, History Channel's, like, first, like, dramatic serialized show. It's, like, a pretty awesome, like, first attempt.
It is. It's like, I like this because this is way different than, like, their typical, like, let's do a Civil War movie of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I like, their, like, they've done, like, America, Story of Us and stuff and all that stuff, but it was, like, that was, like, more, like, documentary with, like, reenactments of things.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
Like, this is, like, an actual show.
Right, and this works so much better when there's, like, a coherent plot and it's, like, you know, they didn't even have to use... There's some cool, like, things they point out about, like, the time, where it's like, oh, there's this tool, like, I found that helps us do this, and for, like, a second they explain the tool for, like...
It's not like a compass, it's like a sundial or something.
Sundial that works like a compass,
yeah.
But it's based on the principles of a compass. And it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, that's why it explains why he's able to do so many things,
they have,
to sail.
They have a stone they can use, like, even if it's cloudy, they can still use the sun.
Yeah, it's basically just like, I don't know exactly what it was,
like,
but it was kinda
kind
cool.
Of
cool.
Like, but it's like focuses the sunlight so they can use it.
Now, like, certain things like that, like, certain TV shows won't have the time to explain. Like, Spartacus, I won't imagine just pauses to explain, like, I wear this armor because it's really effective in battle, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, that would ruin the show. But I understand this is, like, history, so it's like, oh, this is... It would point out the historical, like, principle, like, the fact of, like, oh, I do this, and it's like, okay. Like, I'm not sure what the first... I watched, like, all five episodes, like, together within, like, a day, so I can't remember... Did you get to the point where the boatmaker is explaining how his boat design is better than, like, the previous designs?
Yeah, I think it was in the first episode where it's, like, his boat... Like, it's able to flex more, and then it has, like, longer oars or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, his design is basically what that modern idea of a Viking boat was, because I guess their boats used to be fatter.
Yeah.
So it's slower time to travel. And, like, he explains his design when they're building the boat, and even when they're on the boat, they're saying like, oh, like this design is like so much better to cut through the water. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of, I learned something today watching this show. I mean, I bet if I build a fucking boat myself today, I would probably use that design, but then a speedboat would come by and like wash me out, but whatever. Good to know for survival instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you ever need it. So yeah, I recommend to watch the show to kind of see where it's going. The marketing of it was really weird. They made it seem like it's the most bloody show, network is offer.
It was very,
who fights in the first episode?
They didn't say, it was like, they're trying to say, not say, like, winter's coming, because they're, like, not infringing on Game of Thrones, but it was like, the storm is coming.
Yep. And even the opening credits, I thought it would be, like, this weird, this, like, every few scenes it might be a fight, but no, not really.
It's just like, like Norway or something, and it's just like doing the Game of Thrones. They were like built everything up.
So it don't expect you to see like a giant bloody like mess. Like every episode isn't about fighting. It's actually about a lot of politics built up towards that fighting.
Yeah.
So
very Game of Thronesy.
But even Game of Thrones though, there's a good like every 3 episodes, there's like something major happens and someone dies. Here, like nothing's happened yet. I don't know. They'll define the pace.
Yeah. Characters are pretty interesting. Hugo Byrne is a pretty awesome bad guy.
Yep, he, they go more and more, but he's never, like, a hands-on guy. You'll see, like, he's got a lot of, like, people
henchmen,
working for him. Yeah, like, a lot of henchmen.
Like, weird, like, the guy with the scar and stuff, and...
Then, like, the short guy with the mustache,
yeah.
Like, how it's like Peter Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Like Peter Jackson. Yeah, it's definitely check it out if you're, like, a fan of, like, historical... action, epic sort of shows. anything else you watch, Chris?
Yeah, I finally saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoos.
The American one or the original one?
No, the American one.
American one, okay. Yeah.
So, I saw that. I liked it.
Did you like the weird James Bond opening?
Yeah, it was, like, really out of place with the rest of the movie.
Where it's, a lady, getting raped by, like, keyboards and stuff.
That kind of makes sense to what the story was about,
then, like,
but I didn't get why oil, though.
And there's, like, a dragon, and then there's, like, oil dragon, and then there's, like, oil flies and stuff. It's just, like...
Yeah, we'll simplify it. There's a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of visual stuff that's really, like... It's disorienting because it really has nothing to do with the overall plot. You know, the story is a whodunit.
Yeah.
The story is that, but it becomes more and more complicated because there's so many like character development things and like weird interactions that just kind of confuse the viewer, like from the main focus of the movie. Cause like, it's not about the girl. It's not about the investigator. It's about them finding out the truth about this mystery. But it becomes about them, like, 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm more interested in them solving this goddamn case and them just, like, fucking half the time and, like, not getting their work done.
Yeah. In this weird, like, Finland or, like, Norway island or whatever where they're at.
It's,
Scandinavia.
Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Some weird... Yeah, I didn't realize that. I was like, fuck, like, watching Vikings and doing this. I watch a lot of Scandinavian shows now. Base shows. The weird thing was, you know, I'm not to spoil anything, but when they mentioned that the family has like 2 Nazi members in it, and it's like the first thing they learned, like, did you see the movie, Zach?
No, I haven't
you did,
seen,
right?
No.
Okay. So basically it's about this like really fucked up family, and it's like one family member is missing, and they're trying to determine who's responsible. And it's like they go through everyone, you know, and then they hire an investigator, Daniel Craig, to go through all the family records, go through like the business records, go through like anything with their name on it to figure out if they can like find a hint of like there's a connection somewhere, you know. But like the first thing they mention is like, oh, we have like 2 Nazis in our family that fought for the Germans, but that's not important anyway. Blah blah blah. It's like. And then, not just like so anything major, but like that kind of plays a big role that you had Nazis in your family. I just like, Not everyone could say that, and if you could say that, that's usually something important to your family. I don't know. I just felt like that was kind of like comical, where it's like, oh, like that's Uncle Rich. He's a Nazi. But whatever, like, it's just blah, blah, blah. And then I'm just like, that's something that doesn't, like, no one says that a lot. Like, that's not, I mean, you know, even as time goes on, like, that's even rarer to hear in movies where it's like, this is a Nazi. Like, oh. Oh, wow.
This is Indiana Jones like, or something.
Right. Unless it's Indiana Jones where it's appropriate. But, like, this movie takes place in modern times. So it's not just like, oh, this is a Civil War vet. Like, what?
It's like, so. You think it would be, like, ultranationalist or something.
Right, it's not even like, yeah, like I said, like, it's not even like a modern horror. It's just kind of like, oh, that's just ancient history. So, I mean, not ancient history, but like it's getting very old where, you know, in the future, we're just not going to know any more like Nazis, like living Nazis anymore. The Last Nazi. Sounds like a terrible like book. The Last Nazi. The Last Nazi. Yeah. I actually like this original Swedish version better because it's less distracting with the visual stuff.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of
David Fincher. So it's all like
There's a lot of good camera work. There's a lot of good like visual stuff, even acting. But I'm just like the original novel and even the TV movie and the weird like not TV movie was better because it was less like. Taxing on the eyes. Plus, the actors were like average looking. No one looked like Daniel Craig in the Swedish version.
It was the bad guy from Ghost Protocol.
Right. That puffy guy.
Yeah.
That old puffy out of shape guy was Daniel Craig's character. I'm like that guy. This guy I could root for because he's not fucking Daniel. He doesn't look like because Daniel Craig on a bad day is still fucking Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he's still Bond.
He's still Bond, in my opinion, and it's like, oh, he's not as ripped, you know, as Bond, but he's still...
I'm wearing glasses, so that's how you can tell.
I gained 5 pounds to play this role, and I wore glasses. This is such a hard role for me as Daniel Craig. I'm like, fuck you, like, fuck you. He still had a really good athletic frame, so I'm like... And the book, the guy's supposed to be, like, out of shape.
Yeah.
Like, you know, old... getting, like, health problems. I'm like, Daniel Craig, like, you just stubbed your toe. Fuck you. Like, and he gets a bang, like, Rooney Moore. Like,
Mara,
like, holy shit. Her character, her portrayal, this one was so over the top and so robotic. It was great, but it was scary. There's a lot of awkward scenes where you see her naked, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, because it's like, okay, this is out of nowhere. She's just naked and out of control. She's supposed to be playing as, like, really troubled 20-year-old. She doesn't play. Besides the beginning, you never hear it again.
Well, yeah, that would have cost them a lot of money.
Really? But they rewrote the whole song just for...
Doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know. I just felt like that was going to be more... I thought the theme song of the movie. Yeah, I thought that would be like the Bond thing where they'll play the theme somewhere in the background.
She's like, and I'm like a computer. She's like a researcher on the computer. It's like...
They're in the elevator and it's just like elevator musicified.
Yeah, so like I thought that was going to happen and it just never did. I was like, aw. I don't know.
Come on, Trent Reznor.
Abuse the fact that you made this song by hand. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, if they ever make a sequel, I'm fine with it. It's just, it gets harder to explain the character.
I think they are making a sequel, but I heard like the later books just get insane.
Yes.
Like,
it's a lot more like sex and like rape that just goes on. I don't know. Well, like, I heard
I think it was the end of the second book where like, spoiler alert, but I think I heard she gets, like, buried alive or something, and she's, like, kill Bill her way out of it, like, by punching or something.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, there's some weird shit.
I just don't like the fact that, like, one of her, like, powers, or quote-unquote, like, one of her abilities is to always get, like, molested.
I don't think it's a power, Chris.
It's just, like, every story... about her is something terrible happens to her sexually.
Yeah.
It's like, god damn.
It's her gift and her curse.
Yeah. It is. It's just like she uses it to seduce people, and just like they end up like taking way more advantage of her, or she like has some horrible backstory that explains why she has this. Like she knows this information because like I know that guy. He raped me. Like holy shit. Like another guy.
Yep.
Oh man.
I don't know. It's just a little way too much shock. It's a little too shocking sometimes.
So anything else, Chris?
No, that's it.
Okay, Joe, what'd you watch over the last week or two?
Well, Chris and I actually watched The Possession.
Oh, yeah,
which was basically Jewish Exorcist. it's a very, very strange movie. I thought the story was actually pretty cool. It's a little too much of a, like, divorce drama to be an actual, like, to be, like, an effective sort of plot device. Like, what I mean is that, like, you know, with a lot of ghost stories or whatever, it'll be like, there's a rift in this family. And this rift is, like, allowing, like, demons to come in or, like, some stupid shit like that. Well, pretty much, they just spend too much of the movie developing, like, what a terrible father, like, he is, even though he's really not that bad. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just, like, a male sympathizer, but I don't really get it.
I think, for the trailer, I think, like the one thing is, like, you fit, it's like, he gives him a pizza? What?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. It's really, really bizarre, but, like, the whole Possession itself is pretty anticlimactic. I mean, the final scene of the movie is actually, or the final sequence is actually pretty cool, and like the reveal towards the end is actually pretty well done too. But there are some cool moments as well. Like there's not a lot of original stuff going on, but there's some cool sort of spins on cliches that I guess make it worth seeing. It's got a very Sam Raimi feel to it, which is, you know, it makes sense considering he produced it. And in that way, it's kind of like what we were talking about with Chris Nolan earlier, how it's like, oh, well, he's not directing it, he's producing it, but it's still kind of like a Chris Nolan movie. That's pretty much how this bad boy played out. And, yeah, I mean, it's good for some awkward laughs, too. And yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't hate it, but it wasn't really like a standout sort of a, like, Possession movie for me. I mean, I still like it better than, like, The Last Exorcism, just because, like, you know, I tend to value things that aren't, like, found footage nowadays. Not that I disliked The Last Exorcism, I'm just saying I would put it, like, slightly above that, if for no other reason than the fact that it's, like, an actual, like, film.
Yeah.
Like with a some sort of like cohesive and coherent narrative, so there's that. But the whole idea too, I kind of like the they play with the idea of like a Dybbuk box, which is basically this like sort of apparatus, like a house that they would make in the Jewish tradition for demons or demonic spirits that they couldn't like kill, so they had to contain with like oh man, with like a 24 karat gold, which, you know, insert money grabbing Jew joke here. But also, like wood from like, the Tree of Life pretty much, but I forget the name of the actual, wood. It's like acacia wood, something like that. It's also a kind of, honey as well. But the point is, that's actually a pretty cool story. Like that whole aspect or whatever, and there is some a nice use of tension in the movie as well.
Did they buy the box from a yard sale?
Yeah, it's really terrible. Like,
it's like who is selling? Like, oh, I see, like it's half off the demon box.
Yeah, well, if you see the movie, it actually makes a lot of sense. Because as far as I know, I don't think the girl is actually Jewish. Like, they never really explicitly say that she isn't, but, like, they don't know what the fucking Dybbuk box is.
Okay.
And it's basically being sold by a family who, like, who had basically just put, like, the mother of this family in the hospital. or not in the hospital, but, like, really, like, fucked her up. And, like, the kids or whatever, they're, like, grown. So they're like, oh, we're just going to sell a bunch of her shit now. Because she's, like, we need to pay for, like, medical bills. Mm-hmm. And they sell the Dybbuk box. So, yeah. Yeah, again, I would definitely recommend it if you're into horror. And if you thought the trailer, you know, was to your liking and whatever. But it's not really going to, like, reveal anything new to you about the horror genre. And it's not going to, like, blow your mind. But the last sequence alone is pretty cool. And I really like the sort of classic horror movie ending that they give you with this. Like, it's nice because they don't, like, neatly wrap things up, which I kind of enjoy. Like, it's got more of that, like, end of an 80s horror movie sort of feel to it. Where it's like, where are we going next? I don't know. We'll see.
The end?
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of how they leave it. But, you know, I just want to say also, while we're on the subject of horror, something else I saw this week that we didn't talk about in the trailers, but if you're a fan of, like, demonic possession movies or, like, ghost movies, there is a movie coming out called The Conjuring that I'm actually really excited about. It's a really, really gnarly trailer that actually plays out more like a short film than a sequence, than, like, you know, some random cuts of different parts of the movie happening. Spooky as hell. It's based on Ed and Lorraine Warren, who I actually had the pleasure of meeting while I was in college before Ed passed away. And they're basically the most famous ghost hunters on the planet. Like, they were the ones who, like, did the paranormal investigation of the Amityville Horror House. If you've ever seen that, like, what the fuck picture online of the little ghost boy in the second floor hallway of the Amityville Horror House, like, Lorraine's the one, I believe she's the one who took that, actually. But anyway, this movie is based on their lives, and, you know, I just want to say, like, I was talking about cliches and stuff like that with the possession and it not really showing you anything new. Well, The Conjuring kind of looks like that too, but it's got a really great spin on things, and it looks like the return of, like, the classic sort of haunted house movie and trying to, you know, distance itself from all the found footage nonsense. So definitely check that out if the possession is something that has your attention.
Anything else, Joe?
Fuckload of Breaking Bad.
Okay. So, I watched a couple things besides, I watched Vikings, what we already talked about. Just want to mention Gravity Falls is back.
Yeah.
Yep. Two episodes back so far. Two awesome episodes. They had the first one where, like, Mabel takes over the Mystery Shack as, like, the boss. And then the second one is, like, they're all, like, trapped in, like, a bottomless pit falling together. And they tell, like, three... It's, like, sort of like a Trails of Horror or Anthology of Interest from, like, Futurama, where it's, like, three short stories that they do. One of them, they get trapped in, like, a pinball machine in one of them, which is pretty awesome. So definitely, that, like, it's surprisingly, like, an awesome show. Like, it's on Disney Channel, but it's, like, a surprisingly awesome show. So, with, like, super nerdy references and lots of, like, awesome, like, it's, like, kiddie, like, X-Files or kiddie, like, Twin Peaks or something. So definitely check it out if you haven't seen it yet. And then for movies, I watched, I finally saw Argo.
Mm.
The recent Best Picture winner. Really good movie. I don't know if it would be, like, my best picture on the ones that they nominated, but still super solid. Definitely, like, definitely as good as, like, Ben Affleck's other movies, like The Town and Gone Baby Gone. And it goes from, like, when it's serious, it's, like, super serious and super tense, and then when it's, like, but trying to be funny, it's, like, it's hilarious. Like, the whole, like, well, it starts to, like, super tense, because, like, they reenact, like, the, when the, Iranians stormed the embassy, in, like, the, in the 70s, and, like, when they took over the embassy and then captured everyone. That part is, like, super crazy. It's, like, they cut from, like, actual footage of it to, like, the reenactment of it, it's really hard to tell the difference between both of them, just with, like, the filters they use and, like, the extras, how they're dressed and everything. So that's super well done, super, super crazy, super tense. And then when they go to, so they basically, like, if you don't know, like, if you don't know the story, it's basically, like, when the Iranians stormed the embassy in the 70s and kidnapped, like, was it 60 people, I think? 60 Americans in the embassy for, like, over a year. There was 6 people who escaped out the back door of the embassy and, like, took shelter at the Canadian ambassador's house. So the CIA sort of had to come up with a plan to get them out. Or, because if they got caught, like, outside the embassy, they'd pretty much be executed as, like, spies. So they have a whole bunch of horrible plans they come up with. Like, the main plan they were going to go with was, like, send them bicycles and have them ride bicycles out to the mountains and have them get picked up. But they eventually come up with, like, Tony Mendez, who is this, like, super legendary CIA agent, expert in, like, getting people out of horrible situations, basically comes up with this plan that he'll go in, and then he'll get them out as, like, they're going to pretend to be a film crew filming this, like, super cheesy sci-fi movie called Argo. And then they'll be, like, one of them will be the director, one of them will be the cameraman, one will be, like, the screenwriter. And that's how, like, you know, they basically just go right to the airport and just pretend to be this, like, Canadian film crew. So he has to go to Hollywood, and then, like, he teams up with, like, John Goodman, who's, like, this, like, special effects wizard. And then Alan Arkin, who's, like, this, like, super, super, like, asshole, like, producer guy. And they all team up to, like, basically pitch this, like, fake movie to everyone and, like, you know, like, make it seem like it's going to actually happen. And that part is, like, super hilarious, like, super, like, Alan Arkin just, like, yelling at people and, like, just telling everyone, like, Argo, fuck yourself. And they have, like, this, like, fake, like, they have, like, this fake, like, script reading with, like, a bunch of, like, people in costumes and just, like, crazy sci-fi, like, robots and this guy in, like, a blue Wookiee costume. And so that part, like, the whole part is hilarious. And then, like, when Ben Affleck goes to Iran and it turns into, like, this, like, super tense thriller. So, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. It's not the usual, like, super stodgy, super, like, typical, like, Oscar pick that they usually pick for, like, Best Picture. It's not like The King's Speech or anything like that.
All right, cool.
Actually, the only thing that, like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, a habit of, like, Ben Affleck movies, but, like, you know how you guys are The Town, right? Uh-huh. You know how the last scene of The Town is just, like, super pretentious and super, like, annoying? Of, like, Ben Affleck staring off into the sunset?
Oh,
like, there's kind of a similar thing to happen in Argo. Like, this awesome, like barely, like, this, like, at the end, like, they're trying, like, super tense getting through the airport scene, and then it, like, ends with, like, this, like, super cheesy, like, I need to reunite with my family that I've abandoned, and also, I'm kind of an alcoholic. So,
yeah, Ben Affleck doesn't really seem to know how to end movies.
Yeah, it's just like, if I just stare off into the distance, maybe that'll be a good way to end the movie. Stare off into the distance.
Fade to black.
End scene.
Yeah. I don't, like, Ben Affleck's probably the weakest part of the movie. I mean, he's awesome, he's a great director, but I don't know if he needed to, like, cast himself in the movie.
Maybe he should have just done a Quentin Tarantino and just, like, showed up as a crazy, like, cameo.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you guys need to get out of Iran.
He's surrounded, like, he's got, like, an awesome cast around him, though, so that's pretty good. Like, John Goodman, Alan Arkin, Bryan Cranston is, like, the head of the CIA, or, like, the head of, the, like, the department of the CIA. And just, like, a ton of other that guys are in it as well. So, like, definitely check that one out, especially since it won Best Picture, you can see. It's worth checking out. And then last movie I saw The Package, the latest from Stone Cold Steve Austin and Dolph Lundgren. And it was actually pretty awesome. I think all Stone Cold's direct-to-DVD or home premiere movies have been pretty good so far.
Goddamn good, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you got, like, there was, what the hell? The one with, it was him and Michael Jai White, they're like SWAT team. It's on Netflix.
Oh, God.
I can't remember the name of that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one was awesome. Maximum Conviction was pretty good. And this one is really solid as well. It's Stone Cold is like this sort of former bouncer. Now he's like a mob enforcer slash like retrieval expert. Sort of, you know, like you know the Rock in like the Rundown. It's just like going around and beating the crap out of people and like getting people's money and like getting the mob, like, getting people to like pay back the mob.
Pretty much.
This is what Stone Cold doing in this movie. Like, it kicks off with like him going to like this bowling alley and like this guy owes the mob money, so it beats the shit out of him and this guy's at the bowling alley. And then he gets hired. Dolph Lundgren hires the mob to like deliver this like diary to him. And then there's like this rival gang that wants whatever's in the diary. So it's like, or this notebook or whatever. It's some, like this like leather bound notebook that Dolph Lundgren needs. And everyone just calls him the German. He's like this like crazy other like mob boss or crime boss. And so Stone Cold's trying to deliver this notebook and then like gets like ambushed by this other group of criminals and then they just like try to outrun them. And really sad action throughout it. The best part is Dolph Lundgren, though, because he is just, like, every scene he's in is just, like, amazing. Like, the first scene he's in, he, like, goes in, like, this restaurant to, like, meet with this other crime boss. And this other crime boss is going to, like, ambush him to try to kill him. And then Dolph Lundgren just, like, destroys everyone single-handedly. And then there's another scene where, like, he is just, like, it's just him making, like, a fruit smoothie. And like describing like what goes into, just like him describing like what all the nutrients and stuff you're getting from the fruit, and then it sort of like pans around and you see like this guy sitting next to the bar, like next to his like kitchen counter with like a huge stab wound in his chest. He's like, I need a doctor, man, I'm dying here. And he's like, Dolph Lundgren just like, keeps talking about like, all the nutrients. And then you pan even more farther along, and it's like four or five other guys just dead. That like so like Dolph just like killed everyone and like he's not just making himself a smoothie.
Oh, I love that, man.
and then he's like describing like a martini, like how to make the perfect martini to people. So it's like his character is just amazing.
Is he like over the top evil, or is he just kind of awkward?
He eventually becomes he's sort of like one of the main villain, but he's not like super evil. He's just like this like weird quirk, just like describing like food to people, or like describing like drinks to people, and like going on these like monologues about the stuff, which is awesome. And then one of our main bad guys is the from Mortal Kombat Legacy, you know, the guy who played Kano. He's like the main sort of like henchman bad guy that like fights Stone Cold. And they have a couple pretty good like fist fights, like one in like this like hardware store, and then the other one like in front of like this like. These guys are, like, welding something, so there's, like, sparks flying everywhere. So it's, like, them fighting in front of that.
It's, like, an 80s music video.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, it's definitely super solid, like, action movie. Definitely, I think it'll definitely be a contender for, like, the Steven Seagal Powered by Lightning Energy Direct-DVD Award next year.
Yes.
So that's it. All I've been watching. So I think unless there's anything else you guys can think of, we can wrap this thing up for the week.
Alright.
So if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for reviews, features, videos, trailers, all the trailers we talked about this week on the show or out on the site. You can check out our interview with a couple of the cast members from Vikings that Chris did.
Woo-hoo!
On the site. We got interviews coming up sometime soon, hopefully with John Schnepp from What Happened to the Death of Superman Lives, and also Brett Culp from Legends of the Night that Joe did. So those are coming up in the site sometime, right, Joe?
One of them is.
Yeah,
the other is a little bit out of our hands, mm-hmm. but, you know.
Yep.
He's a very busy man.
Checking the site.
Yep.
Send
your positive energy and boyhood dreams to John Schnepp.
We got, I'm trying to think. Oh, there's a new feature that we just started this week on the site for. Maybe you guys, if you guys read a couple, you can read them too. But we're gonna be talking about like the every week the new comics that come out, because we talk about comic book movies a lot, but we don't really talk about actual comics themselves, so we're going to do that every week on the site now. And
remember reading?
Yes. So, and then all of our other features that we put up on the site every week, so definitely come check out the site every day for all of our good stuff on there. Facebook.com/EverythingThatActions Facebook page. Twitter.com/EVActions the Twitter account. We're also on Tumblr now. You can follow us on everythingaction.tumblr.com for the best of action movie posters, action movie clips, action movie trailers, random anime GIFs of Nicolas Cage doing random things, or John Clavin Dan punching a snake over and over again. So it's all on Tumblr. We're on iTunes. Go to the iTunes Music Store. Search for Everything Action on there. You can subscribe to podcasts. Subscribe and you get our regular podcast every week. You get our commentaries. You also get our review cast where we review a big movie comes out. Hopefully one of those is going to come out pretty soon. Maybe like, I don't know, G.I. Joe review cast worthy.
I think that'd be worthy, yeah.
So we're also on Stitcher, Stitcher.com. You can stream us on there. You can download podcasts on there. They have an app for pretty much any device you can think of, like phone or tablet or MP3 player.
Zune.
Yeah, Zune, if you still have a Zune. You also get our app, our new and improved app, on the iTunes Store for free. You get the last 3 new shows on the site. You can listen to the podcast, and it's newly redesigned and awesome looking.
It's a sexy goddamn app, I have to say.
It is. Good job, Brian.
Wherever you are.
Yeah. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.